Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that? Good afternoon from, once again, on South Beach on Staten Island. On the update this Saturday, after another day of protests over the death of George Floyd, it just brought some more examples of how Mayor de Blasio and NYPD Commissioner Shea are downplaying or denying the police department's rough treatment of peaceful protesters. Luckily, Mr. Tails. In coronavirus developments, as the city is preparing to reopen some businesses and increase subway service on Monday, the state's latest data suggests that hospitalizations and deaths are continuing their gradual decline. NASCAR, of course, has a checkered racial history, from an affinity for Confederate flags among the fan base to a driver losing his job this season for casually uttering a racial slur. Maybe it's not surprising that this mostly white sport deemed hesitant to join the national outrage over the death of George Floyd. And as students across the U.S. are making college plans for this fall, some universities are seeing surging interest from students in their states looking to stay close to home amid the pandemic. This is the update, Saturday, June the 6th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Saturday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop at an old familiar stomping ground has been the case with this spring turning to summer. South Beach. Me and wifey love heading to South Beach because you get to enjoy the water, wade around, enjoy the sand, a nice ocean breeze. Makes you want to have a beach day today, doesn't it? We have a lot of news to get to this Saturday, however, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin this Saturday, of course, with the latest in the protests of George Floyd. Protests over the death of Floyd are continuing in the city amid the lingering tension between protesters and police over the city's 8 o'clock curfew. Several marches and rallies were planned for today. Protests yesterday remained mostly peaceful, aside from some flare-ups when officers tried to enforce the curfew. There were about 40 arrests across the city, but that's been far fewer than it has been in previous nights. Many are wondering if the NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea and Mayor de Blasio are living in denial, because after another day of protests, it just brought some more examples of how city officials are either downplaying or denying the police department's rough treatment of peaceful protesters. Mayor de Blasio said yesterday that he had personally seen, quote, no use of force around peaceful protests, belaying the social media posts and witness accounts of officers moving on demonstrators without provocation and hitting them with batons. Protesters, of course, again marched through the city yesterday by the thousands. Critics said that the mayor and police commissioner were misleading the public about the use of officers while enforcing the city's 8 o'clock curfew. The momentum for what many are hoping is a sustained movement aimed at tackling racial injustice and police reforms promised to grow today as more protesters fill streets around the world. In the U.S., mourners were preparing for a second memorial service for George Floyd, who died a dozen days ago at the hands of police in Minneapolis. Formal and impromptu memorials to Floyd have stretched from Minnesota to Paris, Rome, and Johannesburg, South Africa. In his birthplace of North Carolina, a public viewing and private service for family was planned today. Authorities in Washington prepared for what was expected to be the largest demonstration against police brutality in the city so far. The wave of arrests here in the city in the protests has now strained the criminal justice system. And it's also ignited a debate about whether the bail reforms have allowed smash-and-grab looters to get off easy. So far, there have been about 2,000, well over 2,000 arrests in the past week if police have sought to impose order across the city. Public defenders say too many of those arrested have been detained for too long in cramped and unsanitary conditions while authorities try to determine the charges against them. The NYPD also, they're still trying to determine if Wednesday's ambush stabbing of an officer on an anti-looting patrol in Brooklyn was inspired by the anti-police sentiments expressed during the days and protests of unrest. Officer Yayan Front Jean-Pierre was stabbed in the neck, spurring a struggle that saw the suspect shot and two other officers sustaining gunshot injuries to their hands. Police department officials also said Jean-Pierre and the other officers, Randy Ramnarine and Dexter Shu, were expected to recover. And over in Queens, the district attorney there says that a man seen on video charging protesters here in New York while wearing a glove with four long serrated-edged blades has surrendered to authorities. A release says that people were peacefully gathering on the overpass above the Cross Island Parkway when 54-year-old Frank Caluzzi jumped out of a vehicle on Tuesday afternoon, shouting, quote, "I will kill you," and chasing protesters while wearing the knife claw glove. Authorities say he then got back into his vehicle and drove on a sidewalk, nearly running over the demonstrators. Caluzzi turned himself in on Thursday morning and was arraigned on multiple charges, including second-degree attempted murder. It was unclear as of Thursday night whether Caluzzi had retained an attorney. There is other news of this Saturday to address, and we'll address those when the update with Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Saturday. Out in Long Island, out in Valley Stream, cars were lining up for hours to take home free food amid an economy that's been weakened by the virus, even in affluent areas. A scene in Valley Stream has been replicated nationwide during a 10-week stretch in which 42 million Americans have applied for unemployment benefits. The Valley Stream donations were just one of many events Island Harvest has conducted throughout the area recently. CEO Randy Schubin-Dresner says that the food bank has distributed 1.2 million more meals so far this year than in the same period last year. In Connecticut, demand has also been intense. In normal times, the powder blue vehicle called Sister's Van serves survivors of sexual trauma and domestic violence. In the times of coronavirus, however, it's delivering donated essential goods in New York to individuals and communities in need. Wearing protective masks and gloves, the women set up a table on the sidewalk and hand out everything from canned food, coffee and crackers, to diapers, toiletries, and condoms. The goal is to help folks make it through what are tough times for many in the borough. Says driver Denise Rodriguez, "We go to areas where we're needed most." There are many Mexican families that are struggling to send home the bodies of loved ones that have died of COVID-19 in the U.S. Returning a body to another country is never easy, but the virus has also added extra bureaucracy and costs. All of this is happening also at a time when many Mexicans have lost their jobs. For grieving loved ones on both sides of the border, the challenges include overwhelmed funeral homes, closed government offices, and limited flights. More than 1,000 Mexican immigrants have died of the virus in the U.S. And finally, in the state capital in Albany, as the city is preparing to reopen some businesses and increase subway service on Monday, the state's latest data suggests that hospitalizations and deaths are also continuing their gradual decline. Mayor de Blasio says that city inspectors will visit every construction site to ensure compliance with rules to protect workers and the community from COVID-19. Governor Cuomo said that at least 42 people in New York died on Thursday due to COVID-19. That's a drop from as many as 800 deaths in one day as the crisis peaked in mid-April. The state's official tally, though, still doesn't include people who likely died of the disease. When we return on the update this Saturday from South Beach, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports, including how NASCAR has had a checkered racial history, so maybe it's not surprising that they seemed hesitant to join the national outrage over the death of George Floyd. We're going to talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how as students across the U.S. are making college plans for the fall, some universities are seeing surging interest from students in their states that are looking to stay close to home amid the pandemic. We will address that and more when the update with Brandy Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Pass it on.
This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good? Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subway is closed every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate travel during those times, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Saturday. There's a new analysis by the Associated Press that shows the huge amount of money that MLB and their players are fighting over to start the virus-delayed season. The Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers would each save more than $100 million as part of management's proposal than they would under the players' plan, set to earn $36 million each Mike Trout and Gerrit Cole would get over $25 million under the union's plan and just over $5.5 million under Vatine's proposal. The Yankees would pay players $155 million under the union's plan and $48 million under management's proposal. And finally, let's go over to Hampton in Georgia. Because we all know that NASCAR has a checkered racial history. From an affinity for Confederate flags among the fan base to a driver losing his job this season for casually uttering a racial slur, the good old boys have never been known for their diversity. So maybe it's not surprising this mostly white sport seemed hesitant to join the national outrage over the death of George Floyd. And that's a striking contrast to its rush to be the first major sport to return to action during the pandemic. The Cup now heads to Atlanta for its sixth race since returning from the shutdown. When we return on the update this Saturday from South Beach, we will talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how masterpieces by Velázquez, Goya, and Picasso have gone back on show with the reopening of the most important art museums in Spain's capital, Madrid, after almost 3 months closed because of the pandemic. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual play dates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, once again, over in South Beach. And let me tell you, I'm one of the few people that is very happy that New York City is going to start phase one of this reopening plan on Monday, because it means that possibly the B train returns and there's more frequent service, especially during rush hour. And that'll be great considering that the trips to and from Manhattan have been very lengthy with very limited subway service, but it's... It'll be good to have the return of an old friend, hopefully, once again. In the stations, they're starting to put these social distancing stickers on the platform. It's where people can stand to make sure that people still stay 6 feet, 6 feet apart from others. Anyway, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this June the 6th. The highlight of his day came in 1968 when Senator Robert F. Kennedy died at Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles 25 and a half hours after he was shot by Sirhan Bashir Sirhan. In 1799, American politician and orator Patrick Henry died at Red Hill Plantation in Virginia. In 1816, a snowstorm struck the northeastern U.S., heralding what would become known as the, quote, year without a summer. In 1918, U.S. Marines suffered heavy casualties as they launched their eventually successful counteroffensive against German troops in the World War I Battle of Belleau-Wood in France. In 1933, the first drive-in movie theater was opened by Richard Hollingshead in Camden County, New Jersey. The movie shown was Wise Beware, starring Adolphe Menju. In 1939, the first Little League game was played as Lundy Lumber defeated Lycoming Dairy 23-8 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. In 1944, during World War II, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France on D-Day as they began the liberation of German-occupied Western Europe. In 1955, the U.S. Post Office introduced regular certified mail service. In 1966, black activist James Meredith was shot and wounded as he walked along a Mississippi highway to encourage black voter registration. In 1978, California voters overwhelmingly approved Proposition 13, a primary ballot initiative calling for major cuts in property taxes. In 1982, Israeli forces invaded Lebanon to drive Palestine Liberation Organization fighters out of the country. The Israelis withdrew in June of 1985. In 1989, burial services were held for Iran's spiritual leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. Also, Washington State Democrat Tom Foley succeeded Jim Wright as the House Speaker. And in 2005, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that people who smoked marijuana because their doctors recommended it to ease pain could be prosecuted for violating federal drug laws. When we return on the update this Saturday from South Beach, we'll talk about what happened on the latest national news, including how there are new signs among battleground state voters that President Trump's unsteady leadership over the course of the dual national crises has alienated supporters and energized the adversaries. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never saw moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel from South Beach once again. Let's talk the latest national news this Saturday. We all know, as students across the U.S. are making their college plans for the fall, myself included, some universities are seeing surging interest from students in their states that are looking to stay close to home amid the coronavirus pandemic. At Ohio State University, commitments from state residents are up 20% over last fall. Colleges and admissions counselors credit the uptick to a range of factors tied to the pandemic. Students want to be closer to home in case an outbreak again forces classes online. Some are choosing nearby schools where they've charged lower rates as state students. The result, as some schools say, is that campuses will feel more local if they're allowed to reopen this fall. The masterpieces by Velázquez, Goya, and Picasso have gone back on show with the reopening of the most important art museums in Spain's capital, Madrid, after almost 3 months closed because of the pandemic. The Museo del Prado opened its doors today for 1,800 visitors who had to wear face masks and have their temperature taken before viewing what the museum called its, quote, most iconic works. The special exhibition titled Reunited includes over 190 works that were relocated inside the huge museum to streamline the flow of visitors who must stay on a fixed route past Velázquez's Las Minanas, Fra Angelico's The Annunciation, and Rubens's Saturn Devouring a Sun. In other news, Talking Decision 2020 out in Madison, Wisconsin, there are some new signs among battleground state voters that President Trump's unsteady leadership over the course of dual national crises has alienated supporters and energized adversaries. The president, of course, still has time to recover, but there is a growing consensus among the political class in both parties that, at least for now, Trump is losing. Just 21% of voters believe the United States is on the right track. That's according to a Monmouth University poll that was released this week. That marks a 7-year low, but Trump's defeat is far from uncertain. He has repeatedly demonstrated that the rules that have long governed presidential politics rarely apply to him. And finally, let's go to Miami, because as a re-energized tropical storm Cristobal advanced toward the U.S. Gulf Coast earlier today, bringing with it the heavy rains that already caused flooding and mudslides in Mexico and Central America. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says that Cristobal's maximum sustained winds strengthened to 50 miles per hour earlier today. The storm is forecast to close in on the U.S. Gulf Coast by tomorrow night, gaining it some more strength but not growing into a hurricane. It could cause heavy rains from East Texas to Florida this weekend and into early next week. Our thought for today is from Paul Valéry, a French poet and essayist, born in 1871 and died in 1945. Our thought for today is, a great man is one who leaves others at a loss after he is gone. I'll let you guys ponder on that as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is, Saturday, June the 6th, 2020. That is the update on this Saturday. I'm Brandon Joy. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and be well. We're out at Conference House Park tomorrow and Monday, and I hope you can join me then.